Over the past few years, utilities have moved to hike fixed monthly charges, stirring backlash from solar advocates and others because the practice skews power away from consumers. But despite growing opposition, utilities in several states continue fighting to make their monthly revenue more predictable. A leading advocate for sensible rate design, Vote Solar's Rick Gilliam, spoke with John Farrell about the unfair nature of what utilities are doing to take control away from customers, and the long-term implications of this short-sighted policymaking. This is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories about local renewable energy.
Solar is becoming more affordable just about everywhere, and especially in the last year, a common utility response to the affordability of solar was to raise fixed fees on utility bills. And, you know, I've heard that this means that customers will have less control over their energy costs. Could you explain a little bit about how that works?
Sure. So most residential customers' utility bills have two parts. There's a flat monthly fee that usually covers things like the cost of your meter, the cost of billing, and it's usually fairly low in the $5 to $10 range. All the other costs of the utility are recovered through what we call the energy cost, the charge per kilowatt hour of energy consumed by the customer. So what utilities have tried to do over the last year or two is to increase the fixed portion of that charge and in an attempt to recover other costs, what we would call non-customer related costs, through that charge. And when you do that, that reduces the amount of costs that are recovered through the energy portion of your rate. So that means when you buy an efficient light bulb or get a new appliance that maybe uses less energy than your previous appliance, you're not saving as much money as a result. So that's why we say that you have less control over your utility bill, because actions of the residential customer have lesser impact on their bill.
In particular, for customers who do install solar, the same impact is going to be felt as someone who does an energy-efficient fridge, right? The fixed cost is going to be paid whether or not they produce energy from the solar array, and they're going to get less for the energy that they offset from the solar?
Yeah, that's right, John. And the way we like to look at this is whether a cost is avoidable or not avoidable. And the way that utilities, at least in the recent past, have tried to increase their fixed cost recovery just increases the amount of cost that the customer is going to pay regardless of how much energy they use. And that goes for solar as well as energy efficiency.
So what's been the response to these utility proposals to increase the fixed portion of a customer's electric bill?
Well, I'd say it's pretty much universal opposition. You know, obviously the solar folks have been opposed to it because of the reasons we just talked about, that it reduces the benefits, the savings that a customer would get from installing solar on their home or business. But at the same time, and perhaps even more importantly, consumer advocates have been very concerned about this trend as well, because, you know, it's one thing for the average family to have to pay more, but for low-income customers that are low-use customers, these increases in fixed charges really hit them hard. So it's a real problem for low-income customers, and so consumer advocates are very much opposed to these new charges.
What do you think the problem is that utilities are trying to solve with the fixed fees?
So utilities like to say that much of the cost that they incur to serve customers are fixed. In other words, they don't vary with the amount of energy that a customer uses. And that's correct, but that's a very narrow and short-term view of the utility cost structure. So when a utility invests in certain costs, it's not investing just for this year. In other words, it's not just this year. It needs to recover those costs, but it's investing for the long term. Most utility assets have lives of, you know, anywhere between 30 and 50 and sometimes even longer years. And so rather than look at a single year of cost that a utility is incurring, we really need to be looking at a longer term approach. And that's exactly what happens in resource planning, where stakeholders get together and determine how the utility should meet its future resource needs as load grows over time. And technologies we've just talked about, efficiency technologies and solar technologies, can reduce those long-term costs over time. So the idea that we need to bring into these rate cases is that, yes, there may be a short-term effect of reduced revenue, but there's a longer-term effect of reduced cost. And so that it's that mismatch that we're trying to address in the cases that we're involved in these days.
One of my favorite anecdotes about this is one that Carl Rabago at the Pace Energy Law Center in New York tells about. Starbucks, for example, has a lot of fixed costs as well. You know, they have coffee machines and they have facilities and they pay rent and all this kind of thing, but you don't pay a cover charge to go into a Starbucks. You know, is that a reasonable comparison? And, you know, what makes the utility industry different in that they would feel more flexible in having sort of a cover charge for electric customers as opposed to a coffee shop?
Well, the obvious big thing that makes them different is that if Starbucks started charging a cover charge to go in and to get your coffee, and the coffee would presumably be cheaper, and the customers didn't like that, then they could go over to Pete's Coffee or to Caribou Coffee or to another, you know, there's a bunch of different coffee shops, a bunch of different options that customers have. And that's just not the case right now with a monopoly utility. But this is an interesting segue because this leads to the issue that utilities are really trying to address by these charges. And that's the intentional goal of making things like efficiency and solar less economically attractive to customers, because those customers then will go out and acquire those resources and buy less from the utility. So it's the antithesis of the utility business model, and it allows customers to really take control over their own energy future, which is something that the utility doesn't like. It's a monopoly, and it wants to maintain its position as the sole provider of that service.
So getting back to this notion of the fixed charges and whatnot, when we're getting involved in a rate case, and God bless you for doing this when so many people do not want to spend the time getting into rate cases, what are the principles that we need to keep in mind when we're thinking about how we structure rates for folks? You know, like you said, the fixed charges give people less control. They make the fees and whatnot less avoidable, which can have particular impacts on low-income customers, but on any customer in terms of their ability to reduce their energy costs. What other principles, other than that kind of flexibility or control over their bill, do we need to keep in mind when we're thinking about how utilities design their rates they charge?
Well, I think there's two things that are really important there. First is, strictly in terms of solar, because that's what I work on, we have two what we call guiding principles. We have more, but the ones that are most relevant to this discussion is the two aspects of net metering. The first one being that when you generate solar on your home, a portion of it, and often a large portion, in fact, often all of it, is consumed immediately when it's generated. So you use it immediately, and in that way, it acts like any other reduction in consumption, whether it's turning off the lights or being on vacation. Customers should always have the right to reduce their consumption from the utility. There's no minimum. The second part is, at times, your solar system will generate more energy than you could use. At those times, that excess energy is sent away from your home out onto the grid, where it's immediately absorbed by a neighboring customer. That neighbor, of course, pays full retail because they don't know where the electricity comes from, but they pay full retail to the utility. So the first issue I talked about, that the immediate consumption, in my view, that should be sacrosanct. The second part, which is where the net in net metering comes from, the utility is fully compensated for that energy by a neighbor. So to our way of thinking, using retail rates still makes sense. Now, there is an argument for the utility having to deliver so to speak, that energy to the neighboring customer. And in that case, yes, you could make an argument that there should be a compensation to the utility for the use of that system. So we have talked about, we haven't actually implemented this anywhere, but we've talked about reducing the compensation or the netting price to the customer with the solar system by some small delivery charge to get that energy the solar customer generates to the non-solar customer next door. But that's a relatively small amount. I mean, we might be talking a penny to a penny and a half or so. The bottom line of this discussion that I'm making here is that the host customer, the solar customer, should continue to get retail credit for the energy that they generate, perhaps less a small delivery charge, because the utility is fully recovering the cost of that energy, and there's no additional cost to the utility. So that's a long-winded way of talking about those two guiding principles. From the other perspective, and getting back to the earlier discussion about rates, we talked about the problems with increased customer charges, but I think the path forward in addressing the concerns of the utility in a way that gets at how they incur their costs for serving customers is to look not just at the blunt instrument of applying fixed charges to customers, but to look at when are the costs of the utility highest and when are they lowest. And what I'm getting at here is that there are pricing mechanisms out there called time of use rates or time varying rates that more closely align when a customer uses energy with when the utility incurs costs. And so when you bring those two together, then you're sending the right pricing up to the customer. So they know if they're going to use energy between, say, 2 p.m. and 6 p.m., it's going to cost them a little bit more because it's going to cost the utility a little bit more. And I think that's probably fair. I'm oversimplifying here because it's much more complicated than that, but I think you get the idea. It's not unlike what you see with maybe HOV lanes on a highway where you pay more during rush hour, or often mass transit systems, you pay more during rush hour. But that's the general concept. When the costs are higher, you pay more. And we think that's fair.
Would that time of use pricing align with net metering? So say I am a solar producing customer, would then the amount I get compensated, or the amount that I'm offsetting, I guess I should say, be compensated at that higher rate, say, during the afternoon when energy is in high demand, versus if I were producing solar energy at 8 or 9 in the morning, you know, when there isn't as much use on the system and the costs are lower?
That's exactly right. That to us also seems fair, so that the value of your energy that you're producing to you is more when the cost to the utility is more, because that's what you're offsetting. You're saving that level of cost. And many efficiency programs, as I'm sure you know, also target those higher cost periods, those higher demand periods. So yes, and any excess that would be generated during those different periods, what we call the on-peak versus the off-peak periods, would get netted at those rates as well. So yes, it makes sense to do it that way.
So, Rick, where can folks learn more about fixed charges and other utility efforts that are reducing their ability to control their energy costs, and also about what they can do about it?
Well, there's quite a few resources. If you want to get into the nuts and bolts of it, the Regulatory Assistance Project has a great set of reports on this issue, and they're very prolific, and they're constantly coming out with new updated analyses of current rate proposals by utilities and by others. Their website is raponline.org. So that I would highly recommend. You can certainly go to Vote Solar's website. It's vote solar.org. Another organization is the Interstate Renewable Energy Council, IREC. Their website is irecusa.org. So there's a lot of resources out there, but be warned, they really get down into the weeds. You know, the other thing people can do, of course, is they can contact folks at Vote Solar or at IREC or at RAP and get more information that way.
That was Rick Gilliam, Program Director for DG Regulatory Policy at Vote Solar, speaking with John Farrell, ILSR's Director of Energy Democracy, about how rising fixed charges hurt consumers and utilities alike. Find out about Rick's organization at votesolar.org. Head over to ILSR.org to learn more about utility charges and find more Local Energy Rules podcasts. Until next time, keep your energy local and thanks for listening.